I'm going to do some paradigm shifts that are going to force you to actually think about testing a little bit differently, right? So I'm going to have some slides. That's usually not how I do this, but we still have a bunch of demos. And I'll do the demos this time. We're not going to pick on anybody like we did yesterday. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do a level set on what we shipped in Visual Studio 10, 2010, or Dev 10. So we're going to take a look at that. And the reason I have to do that is if I start talking about what's new, it's a lot different than how we think of testing today. And I keep getting questions about, well, how do you do this? Well, we shipped that in the last version. I just do one on level set. And what I found in most of the countries that I visited, not a lot of people started using our test tools. So I'm going to have to do a level set, but it's all demo, so it's going to be good. Hopefully I'll show you most of these pieces. So this is all what's new in formal testing for Microsoft Test Manager. So we should see most of this. And if you don't, you can raise your hand and you can ask, say, hey, I didn't see number 3 or number 5, and I can try and get back to it. But these are all the changes that that we've gone through and enhanced. Now, this list, by the way, we got from something called visualstudio.uservoice.com. I know that Eugene and Dimitri showed that in their hosted TFS presentation. But if you want to impact the product and its feature requests or things that it don't work the way you want, that would be my suggestion. I actually monitor that website. For bugs, it's probably better that you go to connect.microsoft.com. But this list was gotten from you guys. All right. So let's see if we can go through a bunch of this. Now, yesterday when I was doing this, I was logged on as one of the developers. I think it was Sam or me or somebody. Today we're logged on as Anna. So this is Anna's desktop. And we're going to go ahead and close this if it's not closed, just so we can start afresh. And this is the new Microsoft Test Manager. I did click it, right? Let's try that one more time. Okay, here we go. And what we're in is we're in where a tester would start planning their formal testing regime, right? So yesterday we built a tablet application, and maybe underneath of the tablet test suite, we would go ahead and add a new suite for test underwater scenarios. Right? I don't know that tablets go underwater, but we might want to test that. And then underneath of here, we might go out and say hot water tests. And these are just ways of going out and organizing the way testers are thinking, right? So this is just organization. This is the planning aspects of testing. Now, if I wanted to go out and create test cases, the things that we're actually going to walk through and do, I'd create a brand new test case. And this one might be, I don't know, we'll just make up one. Put in freezing water, then pull something. And here you'd go out and have the steps that the person's going to follow. Start, app, send, messages, process, messages, exit, app. Well, you get the idea. That should have said exit. And then I could have gone out and gone through and said, you know, when you start the app, I would expect it to start. When I send messages, I would expect them to reply. And you could go out, put in more information. If I had something that I did again and again, like logging the application, I might use the shared steps. So let's go ahead and run this. And you go to the test panel or test tab. Go to tablet. And we should find what happened. Oh, there it is. Okay. So I had gone to the right test suite, and we choose run. Okay. So what's happened here is I actually still have it set up to test a Windows 8 application, and it's trying to connect to a Windows 8 application with a bunch of diagnostics that don't work. So let me fix that. I should have fixed that already. And we're going to save this, and save and close. And what we're going to do here is modify this, and I want to go to the local machine. So for formal testing, I just want to look at an app that runs here on the desktop. Remember we talked about desktop applications work the same? So we're just going to play with the desktop app. We'll look at Windows 8 in a little bit. That's a new feature. But I didn't want to do that. And the error was, I was trying to collect, I think it was IntelliTrace. IntelliTrace is not supported for Windows 8 applications for in the testing. So that's what that error was. Let's see if we can get it working now. So one more time, we're going to click on Run. We shouldn't get any errors. And we get this little panel on the side that says, hey, do you want to start your test? I'm going to say, yeah. Okay, it's recording. And it's recording video. It's recording my system information. It's recording my glyphs or actions. And it's taking a look at everything that I'm doing at this point, which I'm not doing a whole lot. So let's go ahead and start the app. And this is just something I built, some little play app that I was playing with. Okay. Looks like the app succeeded. So we're going to say that's a pass. And I think the first one said send some messages. So we'll go ahead and send some messages. And I don't know if you can see them, but they are sending. So we'll go ahead and pass that. And then we'll go ahead and probably turn those off. Process these information. I'm not certain I'm in favor of that big pink, so let's go ahead and mark, copy a bit of that pink. And it seems to be working okay. Okay, maybe not. So it looks like we got another problem. Let's go ahead and grab a screenshot of us getting an error. File a bug. Oops. Okay. And you see that what we've got, we'll take a look at this information in a bit, but I have video information indexed into where my steps were. I've got screenshots. We've got action logs, and I'll show you those in a little bit. And I've got some IntelliTrace information. So let's save that. And that's bug 209. We're going to probably need to remember that. And it looks like this one failed. So let's go ahead and fail that. Say, whoops, question mark, or exclamation point. And end that test. Now, at any point, now that we've got a recording of this, as a tester, I could go back and say play all. And what it should do is it should actually go down and fire off a new XSense application. And it should hit that keystroke. And it should hit the other one. Now, you'll see right off the bat, there wasn't any wait times. It didn't remember how long I paused. It just fired through. We're going to show you how you can actually own that as developers and actually modify that. Because you probably also want to check, make sure, I don't know, maybe there was a login information, make sure that we are logged in before you actually start doing those actions. But this is what we shipped in Visual Studio 2010. And I needed to go out and talk about formal testing and what we did deliver. Now, I don't know if I hit all those things, but they were there. Multi-line, rich text inside the test cases. There was a hyperlink right here that I could actually go back and look at my test case if I needed more metadata. Okay? And save the close. And I'll leave that open. Okay. This is the last time we're going to see this slide. Do you guys have any questions about those? I wasn't going to go through these. Right here.
What about testing of non-metro applications, old Windows 32?
So the question was, is what about non-metro applications?
I know that in previous test manager, it was not really good for all the Windows applications. If complex, I don't know, DevExpress, controls, inside.
Okay, okay, so that's a different question. You got two questions there. That's all you get per person. No, I'm kidding. All right, so the question was, what about non-metro applications? Is the one I just ran, was that a metro application, guys? It wasn't. So It works exactly the same for non-metro applications. That one happens to be WPF, but it could have been .NET, MFC, Win32. Now, the next part of that was, but I know it doesn't work very well with DevExpress or Infragistics. Windows Forms, it works fine. It's the third-party controls on the Windows Forms that we have problems with. Okay? Is that fair? And we know this, and we're working with those component vendors. So Infragistics has got a beta of actually coded UI support. You're talking about coded UI support for their controls. DevExpress already has a release of this, as does Teller. Grape City is working on theirs. So we're working with those people. We've got devs dedicated to it. We'll actually do the first implementation and hand it to them if they'll take it. So we're working with the DevExpress guys who I think are local here in Kiev. Okay, so that's a great question, and I should have covered it. And the way we figured out what was the stack ranking is we actually look at telemetry data that we get. We see that Infragistics is by far the most popular one. That's why we were working with them the hardest. Okay, again, we're not going to see the slide again. All right, so hopefully this graph isn't real new to you guys, and it's really talking about agile development. So let's go back and recap what I just showed you a second ago. It's called formal testing. And in the formal testing paradigm, I know what I'm going to test ahead of time, and I know when I'm done because I finished all the tests. Does that make any sense? So there's a spec. The spec goes from A to Z, and I have test cases that go and cover A to Z. I know when I'm done testing because I've done all my tests. Yes? That's called formal testing. That's what we showed. So when I wrote the underwater app, there would have been a spec for it, and then there would have been test cases. And test cases usually have boundary conditions, right? This is formal testing 101 stuff. It doesn't work very well. That paradigm doesn't work very well in an agile world. In sprint one, will they have all their specs covered? Will they have all of the features implemented? No, absolutely not. The product owner said, I wanted these five. Does the tester go ahead and test all 100 when there's only five? No. Do they rewrite all their test cases based on the fact that there's only five? Maybe. So this is what exploratory testing is all about. It's, I don't know what I need to test before I start testing. This is really important that you guys kind of think about that. And this paradigm shift is important beyond just agile testing, or it actually goes hand in hand with some of the other things that are happening in the industry. With this cloud development, we're talking about companies that might go to deployment 5 or 6 times a week. They might do daily deployments. What's a tester going to do if they have to have a deployment of their entire application every day? Well, the answer is they have to automate it through the fast forwarding sort of technology I showed you. We have to automate this. So testers need to go beyond the redundant steps that they repeat again and again. Testers usually don't like it anyways. And testers are going to become much more valuable because they're going to go through and they're going to say, well, there's key pieces of this deployment on Tuesday that I need to check. There was customer value in these 5 places. I need to go through those. If I can go through those and we can automate the rest, we know that we're probably good, or we're good enough. Right? You hear that term in cloud deployments, is good enough, because I can get another one tomorrow if we're not good, or if we miss something. Right? So let's see what kind of slides I have. Enables focusing on customer value rather than spec compliance. I talked about that, right? Okay, A to Z. If you only have A done, it doesn't make sense to do the rest of the letters. Free testers from the planning. You saw me go out and type, test the hot water implementation, test the cold water. Well, does it make sense to have people type in all that stuff before they even start testing? Maybe. Probably it'd be better if they could just go to work and we could actually watch what they're doing and let them maybe after the fact. Or maybe infer some of the steps that they're doing. And it focuses on working software rather than the spec. I think that was actually mentioned in the top bullet point. So these are kind of redundant. Okay. So there's some myths. Exploratory testing isn't new. I think it was the The term was coined in 1986 by Kem Kaner in his book, Testing Software. But people said, no, it just doesn't work. If you start going and just playing with an app, it's random, right? How am I going to know if you're going to get coverage? How am I going to know when done is? Formal testing is done is easy, right? I had test cases from A to Z. I did them all. That was done. What's done in random? Exploratory test. If I come in the morning and I work all day and I go home, am I done then? That goes back to measuring exploratory testing. What's done? Bugs found through exploratory testing are hard to rethrow. If I don't know how you got there and I don't know why you're there, it's kind of hard to actually figure out and unravel that. And I think I can show you a bunch of that right now, even before we start the exploratory testing demo. Okay. So, how do you deal with the randomness? If I went out and sent in you guys to find bugs in Visual Studio, would you guys go out and get consistent coverage? Probably not. You guys would go out and hit sweet spots, right? The ones that are the easiest, because I said I want you to get the most bugs. Where's that in Visual Studio? Probably performance right off the bat, right? That's what our testers do. When we have bug bashes, they go out and say, what do we try to hit as far as performance? And they all look at it. The other one is globalization or localization. That's an easy, easy one for Visual Studio to fail at. So you'd have these hot spots, and you're not getting good coverage. And the way you actually solve some of that is the idea of tours. Yeah? So I might go out and have a tour of multi-monitors, or I might have a tour for low-end machines. The guided book tour that is talking about is kind of an end-to-end. So if you're going to go into a new city, you'd want to start at, you know, the main street, and you walk all the way back to the city park. So that's an end-to-end. I'd call that a marketing tour as well. Trying to think what we refer to that at Microsoft. Oh, it's called scouting. When we have a new build, you'd have a tester scout it, and that's the guidebook tour. Back alley tours, they're going to go out ninja and go out and try and break it through all the kind of the lesser-known interfaces that maybe weren't worked on. So the idea is, you're going to do multi-monitor. You're going to do the end-to-end. He's going to do performance. This gentleman here would actually go out and maybe do a IDE tour. All he's going to do is look at how well it looks. That's called the supermodel tour. Does it look nice? And if you break it up that way, you're going to actually have a much difficult time getting those hotspots, or actually you're going to solve the hotspot problem. So how we do it at Microsoft is these are actually some of the ones that we use for the Visual Studio Ultimate team. So these are ones that we use. And let's see if I have... No, I thought I actually had a picture of one. The next one is measuring exploratory testing is really difficult. Now, we actually have lots and lots of heuristics and things that we will look at for you. We will check out, do you have code coverage? We can figure out the complexity. There's other things that you know. If a story is very, very complex, means it has lots of tasks, you can figure out how many bugs were raised for that story. If you have a complex story and you don't have a lot of bugs, there's probably a problem. Or you have a really good developer. More than likely, you have a problem. Here it is. So this is what the Visual Studio Ultimate team actually built. What they did, you can't really read this. What do these say up here? This says Agile exit criteria, Agile configuration, Agile exploratory testing. And what they've done for the red, green, and yellow in this particular heat map is number of sessions. So they've said for the configuration, so this is us going out and walking through our configurations, that if this gentleman tested it 10 times or some arbitrary number, then we would get green. If we tested a zero, that would be red. So this is number of sessions per area. That's just one way we did it. Because again, you can no longer use, did you do all your tests? Because you don't know what you need to test yet. All right. I like this question. How many software testers does it take to change a light bulb? You have any guesses? How many testers do you think it takes to change? Three? Why do you say three? I like that number. One to grab it, two buddies to spin them? That's a good answer. I like that. It's not right, but it's a good answer. Zero. Testers just find problems. They don't fix them. Right? That makes sense. Okay. How many developers does it take to change a light bulb? How many? No, no, you can't be asleep. One. That's all it takes because they're very good, right? All right. What's the problem? The light bulb's working at his desk. All right. So let's take a look at some of those reproducible problems or non-reproducible problems. We just went through and recorded a formal test, right? And I said, look at all this metadata that we're collecting. We should be able to reproduce that or actually solve that. So I'm going to go ahead and log in as Sam. How many were in the last session with Eugene and Dennis? Okay, good. So in that session, one of the things they talked about was IntelliTrace in production. Yeah? So in that bug that we ran, we collected an IntelliTrace log. Well, when I was sitting back there in the corner watching them, I did one even earlier, and I did it manually. So I want to actually show you one of the things that was collected for me when I was recording that test. So that was an IntelliTrace log. And this was done 10 minutes ago as Anna back there. And this is what I opened it up as in Visual Studio. Now I'm going to go ahead and debug. Open IntelliTrace. Oh, I need to go here. Okay, so I'm going to take a look at my thread. So I'm going to open up my thread. And you have to remember, I am replaying code that Anna recorded, you know, as Anna a half an hour ago or 30 minutes ago. And you can see that I saw all these exceptions. And I think I'm actually at the top of my stack. Let's go ahead and click on this gesture. It's taking my execution pointer right here. And I can go ahead and start hitting F10 and start walking through the code as it ran half an hour ago, right? So if you can rerun the code, it's going to be really easy to reproduce what that person was doing, right? There may be a lot of it, and I can show you how we can start truncating that as well. And of course, probably in this case, remember we got those whoops errors? They're probably being thrown from these exceptions. And if you take a look at that code, it's kind of hard to read. What's happening there? Is it's hitting a receive. And if you know anything about MSMQ, it's probably an empty queue. So it threw an exception, developer's not handling it, and just went out through, coughed up a whoops. There's a bunch of them. And again, I could start hitting F10 and start walking through the code a while back. What else was collected by Anna a little while ago? Let's go ahead and open up her bug. See that there are videos that are indexed. So this is what either I just did or I did a little while ago. And you'll see that I start the application. I recorded myself doing this. And again, if having the execution pointers with the exceptions doesn't help, a freaking video might. Or a picture of the error, because there's those screenshots as well. This was recorded during that formal test session. So the idea to be able to reproduce bugs should be relatively straightforward. All right. Let's go ahead and close this and show you. Let's say that we fixed it. I went through and I fixed it, but what I want to do is I want to create a unit test that I can make sure that there's no regressions. How can I take the recording of what the tester did and make it a unit test? I'm going to go ahead and, does anybody have any idea what number that test case was? That was the bug. Here, we'll just go back and click on it. We'll go, log back in as Anna. You have a really good memory, though. That's better than me. I didn't even remember that. .208 is the name of that test case. So what we're going to do is we're going to fire up Visual Studio. And you have to pretend that we're Sam or a developer, because this is probably not something a tester would be doing. This is something a tester recorded and handed to a developer, right? So we're going to open up that test case. File, new project. We're going to make it a test. Where is it? Other project types. Oh, here it is, test. We want a coded UI. This is the type of question you were asking. I didn't catch your name. But the ones about the third-party components is specific to the coded UI test. And we'll say that this is a, I don't know, it was a processor test. Now, the first question that's going to get asked is, you, Mr. Developer or Mrs. Developer, do you want to record a new one? Or do you want to use one that a tester recorded? I want to use one that the tester recorded, so I'm going to go ahead and choose that. It's going to ask, well, it's going to ask me what server to use, so that's fine. When I say it was 208, I just came back and looked at it. Yeah, that looks right. It's kind of the right stuff. And now what this should create for me is a unit test that I can go out and start putting those wait times in, checking the if-else conditions for if my logged in, making it quite a bit more resilient rather than just replying it. And you'll see that this is what I typed in. Startup, send messages. I thought I had one called process messages. Did I not save that one? Okay, anyways. And I should be able to run this unit test. And what would this do? Any guesses? It should fire this thing back off any minute now. There we go. And it should click on those. And of course, I would have put in weights in there. Did it finish? That's cool, isn't it? You're hard to impress. You have a good memory. You're just hard to impress. It's because the wait times weren't there. So we didn't wait long enough for it to start getting the whoopses. That's why the IntelliTraces log is so important. Okay, that's formal testing. We talked about exploratory testing, but I've been keep showing you formal testing. Now let's change demo modes to an exploratory testing. What time does this? I have 28 minutes. Okay, maybe I'll do it in two different sessions. I didn't mean to click that. So I'm going to go ahead and go here, and then there's another one that says view exploratory test sessions or do exploratory tests. These are brand new menu items that weren't there before, 2010. And in here are all my user stories. Now, yesterday, if you were with me, we created that one. Alex, or actually, I think it was Dennis, created this one. So we're going to go out and do an exploratory test for tablet app. Actually, I have a question I need to ask. I can do a Metro app with exploratory testing, or I can do a Windows desktop app with exploratory testing. So who wants me to do exploratory testing with a Windows Metro app? Put up your hand. Who wants to see it with a legacy Windows app? Okay, and I'll do both. I'll show you both. But we're going to do it. There's more people for the legacy app, so we're going to show you that. So that little processor, we're going to do that one. So we need to actually do an underwater version up here. And we're going to say explore. Now, this looks the same, right? This looks very similar. These recordings say that they're starting. That looks kind of the same. But I don't have any steps. Why do I not have any steps? I didn't put those in up front. What I did is I clicked on my user story and said, I'm going to explore this. Yes? Does that make sense? So I'm going to go ahead and say, this is a supermodel tour of the processor. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to start it just like we did before. By the way, the reason it takes quite a while the first time or for these is there's actually a lot of collectors that are looking at that application. And we're going to go ahead and start sending this. And we're going to go ahead and stop it, hit process. And probably go ahead and grab a screenshot of this. And there's actually some other things that we've changed here. We can go out and modify this because this is actually it's going to become our test case. That's going to be it's going to make a little bit more sense in a second. Let's annotate that with some writing here. Oops, question mark. Maybe put in an arrow. The idea. And we can actually go out and start annotating this, making it different colors, blah, blah, blah. Again, making it convey more information. Now what we're going to do is we're going to create a bug. And you'll see that this actually gives us a lot more information about what we're doing because, again, we didn't have a test case ahead of time. Let's go ahead and file this. And I wanted to create a test case, because when we go through and actually fix it, we're going to want to make sure that it stays fixed. We're going to have test cases again and again. So you'll see that this is the test case that I created during the formal testing. This is subtle. I want to make sure you guys understand that. In my first demo, I had to go out and type all those directions, right? I don't know if you guys can see it. Yeah, you can see. So what was happening is it was watching me. Said he did this and he did this. Let's create a test case that does that. So again, the idea that you have to create test cases up front is gone in the paradigm of agile testing. Right? So I can go straight to testing and create the test cases as artifacts of my efforts. Does that make sense? Good. I like nods and yes. Mr. Guy of the text messages, did that make sense to you? Oh, you're so lucky I don't read Russian. Okay. All right. So that was a test case that I could go back and replay at any time those steps to make sure that we solve this bug and we don't have a regression. Regression test case. Save close.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, you can ask two questions.
Okay, thank you. So the first one is how catharsis works. So when you click some buttons, we have that steps is... Yes, we have steps. And how it's... how steps writes, how we recognize the buttons?
How does it recognize the name of the button? Those are actually the window title of that control. I can't see who's actually talking. Oh, okay. So how did it figure out the name of those buttons? It's the Windows title of the control. We did a lot of looking at the way you guys as developers name things, and that was the one that made the most sense. So sometimes they'll be wrong, they'll be nonsensical, and you're going to have to go out and change those test cases. But we're actually using the frameworks underneath for the applications like MFC or 132. So we'll actually still have the right IDs. This is how we grab the name.
Okay, so one more question. Okay. The second one, yeah. Could you please open, for example, any Microsoft application, for example, Office application, and do the same and show us how it will be recognized?
You want me to do Notepad?
Not Notepad, Excel or Word, anyone.
Okay.
Just for example, if you have time.
Okay. Let's go through and do a Windows 8 application, because I promise you that. And then we'll try Excel. I've never tried Excel. We'll all learn something together. I have done Notepad. I know it's written in MFC because I can actually see the classes. And Notepad works. That's why I suggested Notepad to set myself up to succeed. Now, you just said Excel. We'll see if I can fail. I like that. That's good.
Yes, because I have some experience to work with Excel and try to automate it, and I have problems with, yes, it didn't work. It don't recognize the buttons, the options, and anything else. And another question, is it possible to run it in auto mode?
Is it possible to?
To automate, just launch it and auto mode. Launch this test case.
Absolutely. So when I went through and I went into Visual Studio and I said test, new test, and I typed in that test case, they give you a unit test. That is an automated test from there on in. It could be part of your build, and it could be something that you do every time you actually go out and build your project.
How to possible to create test plans and run the whole test plan, for example?
Is it possible to create the class and do what?
Test plan, I mean, to collect several test cases, create test plan, and run several test plans.
So every time I build it, run it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the one that we already did, it's actually, I thought they showed that in the last session when they were walking through the test runner. Every time they hit F5 after they had actually played the test runner, it was running those tests. And when I go back into Visual Studio, you'll see that on the test runner, it's actually one of the tests just like what they showed with the unit test. It smells like a unit test, it tastes like a unit test, but it does UI automation, so there's some caveats like Excel automation and some build caveats. If you know you're going through the desktop, means you know you need to log in to somebody that's going to be interactive. Okay, but I'll show you what you're asking for both Excel and running it every time. Okay.
One more question about unit test. So if you create a unit test,
can you walk this way?
If you create a unit test, how to check the result? So the tester is seen in the screen that something wrong in application,
yes.
But if you run unit test, you didn't
want. It always says it succeeds unless you actually have an assert and it fails, right? So this is part of what I said is you need to make your application more resilient, because right now, it running to completion is a success even though the application may have blown up. You have to write the code to go out and check to see if something worked. If I go back into here, I'll show you. If I go back in here, I can look at the controls and start looking for properties. So first of all, to answer your question, this is now just another unit test that we can set up every time I hit F5 it runs. So that's how you make it run every time. Now if I want to go out and put something in here to check to make sure that the button said okay or didn't say whoops, what I would do here is actually go ahead and hang on a second. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. I would use this. Hang on. I'm going to have to look at it after the fact, because I should be able to look at any app and actually start checking the properties and actually adding inserts. So what I would do is actually record enough to go out and say, this button needs to say okay, otherwise it'll fail. And there's actually should be a sniper tool. We've changed the UI. I don't know if it's, maybe it's that first black button. It used to look like a bullseye. That's not start. Yeah, we'll have to look at it in a second. But it's easy enough to do, and you can actually not have to write any code to go out and check the value of a property or the value of a control. Okay. Now, what I wanted to do in the next 10 minutes or so is show you how you actually do this for Windows 8 Metro applications. First of all, when we assumed you're going to be testing Windows 8 Metro applications, there was an assumption made that your dev machine is not going to be the client recipient. You'll be probably developing in a traditional desktop or a traditional desktop machine, but you'll want to be writing for form factors that are like 7-inch tablets. So that was the first assumption that we made. Wrong, right, or indifferent, that's how we started designing the test tools. Now, I'm going to show you on one screen, and it really should be two screens. One that's the tablet screen, and one that's actually the developer environment. All right. First of all, I'm going to go out and change my test plan so it stops giving me that error. Will it also work for web? Yes, absolutely. That's usually the default demo, is that we record a web application, and we'll record against IE, and we can play it back against Firefox or IE. We do not have Chrome support, and the version of Firefox is actually a couple of versions back at this point. We're losing ground behind them. But you can absolutely record a web application. That's typically the demo that we show. Okay. So I have changed my test plans to not try to record like IntelliTrace and the video. Those are actually two things that are turned off for a Windows 8 application. We're also going to go through and do an exploratory test. But I want to make sure, I want to actually modify the machine to be something that's running Windows 8. So this is where I need you guys to imagine or work with me a little bit. You have to imagine as if, probably need to turn that off. There was another screen, and we're going to be recording in that other screen. Some of the things don't work, and I need to file bugs for them, but that's what's going to happen. So I'm saying, hey, I want you to act like you're going to record from another machine. It happens to be this box. You save. Get rid of this. That's not going to help. And again, we're saying that we're going to record from a machine, and we're going to start going up, and we're going to do explore. Now, the reason this is much larger is that it actually should be the entire desktop, is that it assumes that you're connected to a tablet this morning. Yeah? Okay. And what's really happened is we are connected, but we're connected to this desktop. So what we're going to do is say, I am now testing a tablet. Now, in the other paradigm, if I had actually hit the camera, I would get the rubber band, but the rubber band would be on the other machine. So there's a bug here. But we would actually would record the other desktop. Now, let's go ahead and go into our Metro shell and show you what's happening here. So I'm going to purposely start a different application. And we'll go ahead and Alt-Tab out of that. Go back in here, fire off the right application. Go in here, click around. I just want to do some work here. Okay, that was my test. I was just kind of looking around, and I could have actually gone back and said I found stuff and did screenshots of the desktop. Let's go ahead and act like we're creating a bug. What you saw, did I hit the wrong button? I think I did. Let's see if I can do that again. There we go. You'll see that it recorded all those steps, and as the bug, you should have actually had little thumbnail pictures. Let's see if I can make this bigger. Just does not want to work with me, of everything that I did and the steps. So I clicked here, here's a picture of it. I clicked here, here's a picture of it. And this is how we expect you guys to be testing Windows 8 applications. So your desktop would have that screen. You would start moving around in your tablet that's connected through the remote debugger. The way we're actually getting that attachment is we're running the remote debugger. It's a 3 megabyte file that you'd put on your tablet, and we connect through that link. And again, the things like the screenshots actually do work. If I say I want to grab a new screenshot, it gives you a rubber band on your tablet. And you draw it with your fingers, yes, actually right. It is all touch sensitive at that point. So again, wrong, right, or indifferent, we are assuming that you will not be developing on your Windows 8 Metro apps, that is a connected paradigm and you will be doing remote sessions into them. Question right here.
Just when I'm trying to test the tablet,
So what I think what I'm hearing you asking is that as you're testing your app, your tablet application, can you record or actually watch yourself doing these gestures? And yes, we will watch them. Unfortunately, one thing that we did not make that is in our backlog and we do want to get done, but we're not going to make it by the time we ship, is the ability to replay it. You know how I showed you with the traditional apps, I was able to replay it as the tester or as the developer? That's not going to work for Metro apps. We'll not be able to replay it initially. Now, we are actually going to, at Cadence, where we're going to have a lot of things that are going to come out of band, that one's not first. Code coverage on manual tests is actually our number one thing that we want to ship out of band. So, yes, for half of that. All right. So, we went through kind of three different things. And I want to recap. The first thing that we covered off is that Microsoft has tools for doing formal testing. We shipped them in Visual Studio 2010, and we spent about 10 minutes looking at them. Formal testing, once again, is I know what I'm going to build up front, and I know when I'm done testing because I go from A to Z. And when I hit Z, I'm done. With Visual Studio Studio 11, we've also introduced the idea of exploratory testing. I don't know what I'm going to be testing. I'm going to focus on customer value, and I'm going to walk through these different pathways with the eyes of the customer. And we're going to create test cases as artifacts after the fact, and record enough to where your developer should always be able to actually reproduce any bugs and be able to close them back. For Windows 8 applications, the paradigm that we are talking about is connected scenario with things like replay not there yet, but you actually have very rich, almost like a very slow frame rate video of the actions that were taken. Now, I think I do have one other slide, and I've got about 5 more minutes, so let's actually go back to my slides. And talk about lab management. Is there anybody in this room that's using lab management from Microsoft right now? Not a single person. Wow, okay. And again, this is why I walked through the test tools, is because the test tools are relatively little known. Lab management is much less known. And it's actually not really easy to use, or it's non-trivial to use, because you actually have to have the heart of an administrator but the mind of a developer or something like that to actually get it working. Lab management is the idea where when you do a build, we'll take your files, put them into an environment, and run the test on it. Right? So it's called build, deploy, test. It's a step beyond continuous integration. Right? We shipped that in Dev 10. The only way you could do it, or the only supported scenario, is with Hyper-V and using System Center. Like I said, it was non-trivial. With Visual Studio 11, you can actually now enable that with physical environments. So if Mr. Yellowshirt here had permissions on these people's machines, he could go in to our tool. and say new environment and point to these people's machines, it's automatically going to load a test agent on there. And when you do a build, it would actually push the builds out to their machines and run the tests on those boxes. So that's the big new feature for Visual Studio 11, is the idea that we can now automate the running of tests through build onto other physical machines. I want you to think about that in like a cloud scenario, where you are going to go out and do a build and start pushing up your builds into virtual machines in the cloud and running tests up there. Your F5 now expands all the way to the sky. Pretty powerful stuff. Okay, my slides are gone. Sorry, what? So if you actually want to do snapshots and rollback capabilities, it's still Hyper-V, but you no longer have to have System Center to make that happen. We'll actually do the snapshotting for you. We required System Center before. We still don't support VMware, if that's what you're asking. For us, VMware looks like a physical machine.
And can I connect to, for example, VMware workstation VM running?
Can I connect to VMware workstation to real PC?
A real PC, yes. So if I go back in here and type in real PC, because this is actually what VMware looks like to us as well, and go out, hit next, add machine, I would go out and have real machine name. Right? That's these guys as PCs. And what happens is when I hit, it's not going to ask for the role, it's going to ask for some tags. If you have permissions, right here it's asking who it's going to run as. If that person has permissions, it would actually automatically install the load agents on these guys' machines. And then you could actually go out and use them as part of your build. Let me show you how to... Go ahead. One more time.
What do you need to install on that PC?
The test agent. And you don't need to install it. You just need to have permissions to be able to install it. So you don't have to install anything, zero. But it's about a 12 megabyte file, 20 megabyte file, is going to get installed. And that is the test agent that's going to run the tests when the builds get put over there.
We are currently using test complete, and it's pretty complex to make it work with a user that is logged out or with closed virtual remote desktop. In your case, does it work without logging in actual user, without having display enabled?
So let me repeat what I think you asked, and then we'll see if we got it right. What I think you asked is that you're using a utility that requires you to go over to that machine and log in as an interactive user.
Yes.
Okay. And if you are doing automated tests that do not need access to the desktop, you would not have to do that. You just need to have permissions. But we were showing coded UI tests that were doing keystrokes into a UI. While you don't have to log in, you're going to have to give it an account that is running interactively.
But it will not, for example, make video for me or screenshots of that process?
The video test collector, if you wanted to enable that, it would. It could collect that, yes.
So it runs in the interactive mode, or?
Coded UI has to run in interactive mode because it's pressing buttons. If we go back and take a look at that test, it's actually pushing a button. So automated tests that use the user interface have to run as an interactive user. That test agent that this gentleman was asking about what gets installed would have to run as an interactive process. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I can show you that where you set that. So this is the test agent configuration tool. You would set this up remotely. One of the remote options is to run it as an interactive process. that would have to be checked as interactive in order to run the tests that you're asking about. If you have automated tests that are not run through the interaction of the user interface, which is actually most cases, then you wouldn't run this interactively. No matter what, you don't have to walk over and log on to that machine. All right. I still have a minute and 59 seconds. Yes? What about web testing? Let's talk about the second person's asset. I can record a web test just like I did. Now, that's actually going to use the DOM object of IE, and it's going to actually like push buttons. Additionally, we have a web test recorder that watches the protocol. So if you're running a lot of client-side JavaScript, you would probably want to run it as an interactive test, pushing the buttons. If watching the protocol is okay, we have a web test that watches just replay the protocol. If you're going to do a load test, you probably don't want to be trying to push buttons because you're not going to generate enough load on the server. So we have two ways you can actually record and play back web tests. And usually the second one where you use the protocol, we now call it a web performance test. We renamed it. All right. I have 49 seconds. Is there any other questions? Dev Express for web. I think the one that they're working on right now is Windows Forms. I don't know if they're Dev Express for web. And you're going to have to tell me in what scenario you want it to work. But I know that they're working on their Windows Forms as their prime one, and they're still a couple months out, but they have released their first beta. If you send me an email, I can get you in touch with the dev manager I've been working with. All right, guys. Over 24 seconds out. I want to thank you very, very much for having me in the Ukraine. I want to thank you for being a great audience and putting up with me. So, take care.